then migrated to what we know as Greece today. Jeremiah and his party went up the Ebro River, which is a Hebrew name, to the town of Zaragoza, and you have there, which is named after the twin son of Judah, and is the main town of northeastern Spain today. Here, history records that Jeremiah married one of the princesses to a prince of a clan of Sarah of a tribe of Judah. Jeremiah then traveled across what was then known as Gaul, and it's, you know, from Zaragoza who went to France, you can see. And France was then called Gaul. Then by ship to Ireland. And you can read today in the ancient manuscripts of Ireland the coming of Jeremiah and Baruch with the king's daughter. One daughter left. And she was Princess Ti Tefi, meaning violet or beautiful fragrance. In 585 before Christ, and married her to King Hieronymus of Ireland, who was a descendant of Judah through the twin son of Judah, Sarah. Princess Ti Tefi was a descendant of a twin son of Judah, Pheres, from whence came King David and the kingly line of Israel and Jesus. How did Jeremiah know about what was then called the Beautiful Isles and also the Ten Isles? Let us rehearse 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and in verse 6, David charges Solomon to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And in verse 8, David tells Solomon that the Lord will not let him build it, saying, "Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars, thou shalt not build a house unto my name." In verses 9 and 10, God tells David that he shall have a son, and his name shall be called Solomon, and he shall build a house for my name. And verse 16 says that David collected up gold, silver, brass, iron, materials without number to build a house of the Lord. Verse 14 says that David for the house of the Lord prepared 100,000 talents of gold. A talent of gold is 125 pounds. That is 12 million and a half pounds of gold. Now you know how heavy gold is, and how much it would be, 12 million and a half pounds. It's, you know, a lot of gold. We cannot in our wildest imagination know how much that is. Why is this important to our study of the so-called lost tribes of Israel? In order for Solomon to cover the temple and the furniture, and I think the floor also was gold, with gold, he had to have tin, lots of it, for tin is required to work gold. Where did David get this vast amount of tin from? From the Happy Isles, the Tin Isles, from a part of what we know as the British Isles, which means covenant people, from an area we know as Wales, with its vast tin and lead mines, which King David owned and had a colony of Israelites there 700 years before the carrying away of the tribes into captivity. And all the tribes knew of this place. Everybody knew where David was getting his tin, you know, because the ships were going constantly. Also, Dan was a seafaring people, transporting all these materials that David was collecting up for Solomon to build a house of the Lord. Dan was into Phoenicia, and the Phoenicians, the native people of Phoenicia, was also seafaring people. There are a couple of scriptures that seem to be out of place. One is 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. Nathan prophesies to David a strange prophecy. "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." They are in the promised land right now. Everything is wonderful. Why is it prophesied that they are going to move and be planted in another place. Okay, that's 2 Samuel 7:10. And in Isaiah 49:1, the prophecy says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far." This can only be referring to one place, what we know today as the British Isles. There are no other isles. Oh, the 10 mines that David owned, these were still in the family owned by Joseph of Arimathea, who was Jesus' uncle, the youngest brother of Mary's father, and was one of the wealthiest men in the world at the time of Jesus. Now let's see the next one. We know by scripture, 2 Kings 18 and verse 9 through 11, in approximately 720 BC, that 10 and a half tribes were carried away into captivity, never to return. Then in verse 13, 10 years later, the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and the other half tribe of Levi were carried away into captivity, never to return, leaving only a remnant of a lineage of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi in Jerusalem. And they were carried away to Babylon later in 585 BC, 120 years later. Then 70 years later, the prophecy of Jeremiah is fulfilled, and Ezra returns to rebuild Jerusalem, bringing with him the records of a genealogy of Judah to verify the lineage of a Christ child as given both in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. God had these records destroyed later, for Jesus was their fulfillment. The tribes have disappeared seemingly, but there are many scriptures that point to their presence. We will begin to follow them through secular history. David was made king over Israel in 1048 BC, and during his reign he owned the tin and lead mines that in what we know as Wales in southern England. And he had a large colony of Israelites living there, working the mines. Now the children of Israel are carried away captive 230 to 240 years later. They all know of a colony of Israelites living on the Happy Isles. So they began a migration to the northwest. And as they went, they named rivers and towns after the names of tribes. As the children of Israel migrated northwest into Western Europe and the Baltic region through the pass in the Caucasian mountains, they became known as Caucasians. And today the white race is known as Caucasians and are the descendants of the so-called lost tribes of Israel. Archaeological excavation in the Middle East have uncovered vast graveyards with stone monuments that tell of dispersed Israel. An example, this is the grave of Buki, the son of Isaac, the priest. May his rest be in Eden at the time of the deliverance of Israel. Another says, Tuspa the Cimmerian, and we're going to get to the Cimmerians later, who was the leader of a tribe of Israel who loved freedom more than life. Another Hebrew inscription says, I am Yehudi, the son of Moses, the son of Yehuda the Mighty, a man of the tribe of Naphtali, of a family of Chinli. These ancient headstones have been found from the Crimea across Eastern, Western Europe and in the graveyards of Ireland. As the tribes traveled westerly and north, they tried to retain their own identity as much as possible. They were called Celts, Scythians, Gauls, Gads, Gades, the Belgae, the Angles, the Jutes, the Danes, the Saxons, the Normans, and other Germanic peoples. These were all Israelites of the so-called lost tribes that became the progenitors of the Scandinavian countries of ancient Norse lands, as Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland, Western Europe, the British Isles, the British Commonwealth, and America. In a previous writing, we traced the approximate final migration of 10 of the tribes. Now let us look at Ephraim. Jacob Israel prophesied to Ephraim in Genesis 48, verse 19, his younger brother Ephraim, who inherited the double portion birthright, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. The British Commonwealth, upon which the sun never sets, or used to never set, South Africa, Canada, islands of the Atlantic and the Pacific, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6b says, I will also give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Australia and New Zealand are known as the end of the earth. Truly Ephraim, Great Britain, the only nation that is a multitude of nations, therefore she is Ephraim. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 17 says, Jacob Israel said of Manasseh in Genesis chapter 47, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and the English native is known as John Bull. And his horn are like the horns of unicorns. The unicorn is part of the royal arms of both Britain and Scotland. With them he shall push the people together to the end of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim. Manasseh, in Genesis chapter 48, verse 19, and this is the brother of Ephraim, both sons of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 19, Jacob prophesies to Manasseh and says, he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. So let us see if we can find this nation that is to be great in the Bible. Have you ever read the little 18th chapter of Isaiah with only 7 verses and pondered their meanings? Let us look at it. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Woe, the same word, appears in verse 12 of chapter 17, and it means listen up, pay attention, such as a military commandment, attention. So let us pay attention to what Isaiah tells in the 7 verses. That sends ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go, you swift messengers, to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from the beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, see ye when he lifts up an ensign on the mountains, and when he blows a trumpet, hear ye. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth. And the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter on them. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of the people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Now let us explain these 7 verses. We have looked at the word woe, which means listen, pay attention. The land shadowed with wings is where? Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia or the Nile River. Beyond the Nile River across northern Africa, we find only desert and wasteland, the Great Sahara Desert. The verse says land shadowing with wings beyond the Nile River. So where is this land? If you look up at the, if you look at the world map, you will find that the 30th parallel is just south of Jerusalem. If you draw a line from Jerusalem to the west, you cross the worthless desert of northern Africa and will come ashore in northern Florida and southern Georgia. the first land of any value west of the Nile. The verse says, to the land shadowing with wings, no other nation has for its national emblem an eagle with outstretched wings, except of the United States of America. Here are some different translations of these verses. Verse 1, the New King James says, land shadowed with buzzing wings. The New American Standard translates this as land of whirring wings. The American Standard Translation says land of rustling wings. In the Revised Standard Translation, it says land of whirring wings. The Young's Translation says land of shadowed wings. The Webster Translation says the land shadowing with wings. Verse 2, that sendest ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, go, you swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from the beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Let us dissect this verse. First it says, that sends ambassadors by the sea. No African country west of the Nile has ever sent ambassadors by sea. But America has sent ambassadors to all the nations by boat. Now, I guess, by airplane. The verse says, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, go ye swift messengers. Now, when the scriptures were translated into English in 1611, the only boats known on the Nile River were made of bulrushes. So that was the word that was used. But the original Hebrew word implied a water-drinking vessel. That meant nothing to the translators back then. What is a water-drinking vessel? It is a steamship invented by Fulton and had its trial run on the Hudson River. Today we have the atomic water-drinking vessel. Soon our ambassadors were swift messengers to all the nations by steamship. Verse 2 goes on to say, a nation scattered and peeled to a people terrible from the beginning hitherto. The New King James says, to a nation tall of and smooth of skin. The New American Standard and Revised Standard say, to a nation tall and smooth. The Young Translation says, a nation drawn out and peeled. The Webster Translation is the same as the King James. Four translations says, a nation tall and smooth. The American soldiers are the tallest in the world, and basically, Americans are clean-shaven, smooth-faced men. Terrible from the beginning, America was the most feared and revered nation of the earth until the Korean War. Verse 2 continues on to say, a nation meted and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. The New King James, New American Standard, American Standard says, whose land the rivers divide. It said a nation meted and trodden down. Did you ever read in history of the meets and bounds, and he misspelled meets here. Meets is M-E-T-E-S. And bounds Act of 1800. It was a law that required every section, which is 640 square acres, to be surveyed and a brass marker put at each corner of the sections. The United States was meted out, measured, trodden down by the surveyors as they walked every section of a nation. Abraham Lincoln worked as a surveyor for a while on this project, which was not finished until 1890. No other nation has been meted out, measured, trodden down, walked from shore to shore and boundary to boundary, but the United States of America. Finally, verse 2 says, whose land the rivers have spoiled, but three translations say the rivers divide. The Amazon River runs through Brazil, but no other nation on the earth but America is divided by first the mighty Mississippi, which starts in Canada, then quartered by the Ohio River that reaches from the Atlantic to the Mississippi, and the mighty Missouri that begins at the continental divide in the Great Rocky Mountains and Northwest. On to verse 3. All the inhabitants of the world, dwellers of the earth, pay attention when his ensign is lifted up. The Star-Spangled Banner is that ensign, and almost all the inhabitants of the world want to come to America. Verses 4, 5, and 6, I believe, are the account of the Civil War. Verse 7 says, in that time shall a present be brought unto the Lord of hosts by the people that are tall and clean-shaven. The American standard says, gifts or presents will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth. The rest of the verse we have already discussed, and it concludes by saying that these people bring their gift to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, Mount Zion, the place of praise. Remember Jacob's blessing to Joseph in Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 through 26. Joseph is given the wealth of the world through Ephraim and Manasseh. There is a prophecy through Moses in chapter 15 of Deuteronomy and verse 6 that reads, for the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. The original 13 colonies represent the 13 tribes. Another nation on the earth can or has fulfilled verses 8 through 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, but America. Those verses are as follows, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall be in the city, etc. You know that, all that blessing, all the blessings of Deuteronomy. These prophecies were never fulfilled by Israel. And the people that call themselves Jews today cannot fulfill them because they are borrowing billions each year. And the scripture says it is written that God's people would loan to many nations and not borrow. America has made financial loans to every nation and borrowed from none. And the only nation that has ever repaid us is little Finland. If another nation is God's chosen nation and can fulfill these verses, then they should be loaning money to America. What other nation on earth's national anthems are about the Lord? In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. Remember Jacob prophesying the future to Joseph in Genesis chapter 48 about his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob has laid his right hand on the head of a younger and his left on the older, and Joseph has asked him to change hands. And verse 19 says, and his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people and he also shall be great, which means the United States of America. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations, the Commonwealth of Great Britain. God has blessed America. This is just a small sample of the vast historical records that are available of the so-called lost tribes of Israel that have and are and yet will fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded. And the kingdom shall become the Lord's and his Christ, and his glory shall fill all earth, for his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Read the vision of Columbus. He said God told him to find the new world. Columbus was Christian. He heard from God. The pilgrims said they were coming to the great wilderness and called it the Promised Land. Every American and especially every Christian should read the Mayflower Compact and the Virginia Charter, which is for the glory of God. They said they came to the new world, the Promised Land. One more issue, one more writing. Judah, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And Shiloh, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not come. So there has to be a ruling monarch today sitting on David's throne. Awake, O Israel, put on thy garments of praise. So, and this is why in England there's still kings and queens sitting on the throne. And let me stop this.